Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 94. I'm the host, Henry Gilbert. That's crazy. And I'm here with...
Ryan Teljanik.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Ashley Reed.
And Hollander Cooper.
Hey, why are you going last?
Because, to quote Tom Magrino, I quit!
Yeah, you announced it on Twitter this week.
Yes.
To clarify, this is not a joke.
No. And I'm not like, this isn't, I mean, technically, I believe I'm resigning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a, I'm not leaving disgruntled. I mean, I'm disgruntled.
Just as a person.
But I'm actually, I got a new job. And I can announce it on the podcast first.
Oh, it's
where is it?
I'm going to be the managing editor of Origin, working at Electronic Arts.
Wow,
the most evil company in existence.
Not anymore.
Don't say those things to him. He can't.
It's only like listen.
This year they were the third worst company in America.
Oh, they're moving
so
on
next,
up.
The next, top seven worst companies in America.
Just
next
under
week,
Walmart.
Next week we can expect a top seven best EA games written by Hollander Cooper.
Top seven best Origin prices and deals.
Yeah, but it sucks to hear you going, but I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
New job.
It's a good excited. Opportunity.
Sounds cool. It's sad for us. It's good for you.
Yeah, and but yeah, it's an exciting opportunity. Yada, yada, yada. I'm very excited about it. It wasn't an easy decision because I love Games Radar.
And it sucks that you're not going to make it to 100 episodes.
Fucking couldn't make it to Talk Radar 200. Couldn't make it to...
It's just a reoccurring thing with you.
It's just me. I can't. There's something wrong with me.
We were close.
We were also almost at an exact full year of weekly episodes of Smash Brothers weekly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
Though at least with this like total, if you count the non-numbered E3 episodes, we did hit 100.
Yeah. And you're still going to hit 100.
Yeah, 100 will be hit. Oh,
just
boy.
Without me. And there have been a bunch of episodes I haven't been on when I was just like gone for weeks. So. Yeah.
In short, can't stop, won't stop. Radio Radar will continue.
Yes.
Just sans Hollander Cooper.
Yeah. So it will be a significantly better show.
So, yeah, it's showing that we're sticking to the formula and being unchanged. It's now time for the top seven of the week.
I'll get you a soundboard.
Top
seven. You screwed
I
up.
Top seven.
I did screw up by not bringing the number. Shit. All right. Well, anyway, this is my first one hosting, guys.
Okay, you got
it. Give me some leeway. All right.
God,
so
Henry.
This week, like previous years with Post E3, we did an article about the top seven E3 no-shows of that year, like what we expected to show up and it didn't. The article is Andy took a very jokey take at it. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he basically did like one paragraph on why it was, or it was the fact that it was a no-show, and one paragraph about why it didn't show up. And because it's Andy Hardup, our UK editor, the reasons were usually like one of the developers borrowed the, or one of the person in charge of Sony borrowed the only copy and lost it.
Yeah, so Andy in video interviews, like, it's just so dry, but then in writing, like, he can be like so funny. Like,
yeah.
It is a very strange, like, if you ever talk to the man in person,
he's a very stern looking dude too. Like, we're video conferencing.
He's
over
the Stannis of
yeah,
of
he really is the Stannis Baratheon.
And just like Stannis. Sometimes you may not get what he's doing, but in the end, he's going to come through for you.
Well, yeah, he's like the Stannis that has somehow the capacity to tell funny jokes.
Yeah.
But not in person.
He's real by the books.
Is this Game of Thrones stuff?
It's some of it.
It is. I should have figured. All right.
Anyways.
You know, that was a no-show this year, but we're not talking about that one. Wouldn't it have been nice to see Telltale's Game of Thrones game?
That would have been cool.
I have a feeling that Telltale's Game of Thrones game is about as far along as it was when Telltale's Game of Thrones game was revealed, which was, here's the three-eyed raven. Get pumped.
Yeah, it's still provisionally on our 2014 games list because they haven't said it's not coming out in 2014.
Sure.
But I feel like, you know.
They've got a lot of stuff on their plate right now.
But one thing definitely not coming out in 2014 is number seven. Number seven. The Last Guardian.
My favorite part about The Last Guardian is that it has been on this list for about 16 years.
Can we just let it go already?
I feel like next year when we do this, we have to start making exceptions. Like, all right, no more Half-Life, no more Last Guardian, no more whatever.
Just drop it.
But, you know,
I feel like The Last Guardian, I mean, there's several things on this list where, like, maybe 2014 is the last year that Games Radar includes them in any list about like excited games that are coming out or
right.
anything.
But the one thing, you know, I think we can probably all agree, one of the reasons Last Guardian is definitely on this list is because there was that weird just before E3 thing happened where there were rumors that it had been officially canceled, and then Sony said, no, still happening.
Yeah, I know. The rumors flared up just at the end, and so I know I went through this like roller coaster ride of emotions live on Twitter.
Yes.
Because I really wish I had just counted to five and then just before spreading around the rumor that it had been, quote, officially canceled, unquote, yeah. before Sony immediately replied to it and said, like, no, it's not canceled.
And
like,
Sony recently said, like, they said, we will tell you if we cancel it. We're not going, we're like, it has never been canceled, and it is not canceled yet. If we ever decide we're going to cancel it, we're not just going to sit here silently about it. We're just going to say it's canceled. But yeah. right now, it's not, which is actually, like, it's technically a good thing to hear, but that also means that it is close to being canceled. Or else they would be like, there's no way, don't even worry about it.
I think if we don't hear about it for sure legit at TGS this year, I'm kind of just like...
I say that...
Take it off.
I've said that for the last 2 years. And then again, this year, I was like, nah, maybe they will do it this year, but...
maybe.
It would have been so perfect just to be like, no, it's not canceled. In fact, you can buy it right now.
I wouldn't have been surprised if there was some push at Sony where it was... There was the rumor it was canceled. They denied it. Some people were like, really? And if they have a TGS trailer, being like, maybe we should just... release it now, just because
it's one of those shit or get off the pop moments.
I think it's safe to say that Sony's legs are numb right now. Yeah. They've
been hogging that bathroom for so long that there are 1,400 people outside the door waiting to get
Prey
in.
Prey 2 is just like,
I have to shit now.
Oh, man. I'm ready to shit. Literally.
Got a turtle head poking out.
Crowning.
And Sony, meanwhile, is in the bathroom going, look, this is going to be a masterpiece turn. You can't just.
This is
going to
be a triple flusher,
all
right?
Yeah, I...
Beyond Good and Evil's at the door. Just give me five more minutes.
Yeah,
I want to poop in Tokyo this year.
I think TGS will be the make or break point for it. Like, I am hoping... Sophia brought up TGS for the first time in a long time today as something that might be covered in some capacity, and I thought, like, this year TGS will be the first year since Next Gen has actually come out there.
New Gen.
Sorry, the
come
New
on,
Gen
Marie.
Has
come get with
out
the
there.
Trends.
Get on my level.
But, yeah, it has been... Did you guys realize it was, like, 5 years ago that Last Guardian was revealed, like, named at E3?
Listen, people keep complaining about that two-year, three-year development cycle, and then the second you get a 17-year development cycle, people lose their shit.
You know what? We should have put this as the new entry on our game facts that make you feel
it
old. Five years ago, the Last Guardian was announced. Don't you feel old?
Yeah, the Minecraft ones get too.
Yeah, that is.
All right, number six. Number six.
I think that's it.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Well, this was like a more recent rumor that this might be happening, right?
Though I think the rumor was like that Rockstar would have a real new game, not an HD.
Mm-hmm.
Not
GTA,
HD. There's no term that works to describe
New Gen remake is the worst
way to put it. But there were rumors like they're going to have something, and it's like, well, it's not a new GTA. It's not a new L.A. Noire. It's probably not a new Max Payne. Shit, it kind of has to be a new Red Dead because the agent is also knocking at that Sony door.
Yeah.
I think, too, that I think it was Strauss Zelnick who said that they were like, Red Dead is a franchise for them. Like,
right.
They are
right.
committed
right
to
before
it.
Right before E3.
Yeah, and... also, Rockstar is the type to... They'll reveal one thing at a press conference. They don't go to E3. They kind of openly despise E3. But...
And have a weird appreciation for PAX. They show up at PAX sometimes.
Yeah.
Red Dead was at PAX, and Rockstar's table tennis was at PAX.
Does Red Dead's developer, like Rockstar San Diego, does that even exist anymore? I thought like there was a big mass exodus.
I'll Google it.
That's a question for the internets.
But all right, then number five.
Number five.
Beyond Good and Evil 2. This is another one where, like, it just wants to die. Like, the rumors about it just keep popping up. And partially it's because Michel Ancel still works at Ubisoft. and so when he's interviewed about a game, he brings up... everybody always asks him about Beyond Good and Evil, and instead of just going like, no comment, or I don't want to talk about this, he goes like, well, I really do want to make it, but we can't. Blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just,
but there's been footage of it.
And then we keep circulating screen grabs of that footage. You know, the same picture of the freaking bipedal pig. Whatever,
and that leaked footage.
Whatever his name is. I forget already. You know, we played Beyond Good and Evil. John, you played through it.
Yep.
I played through it. Henry, did you?
Yeah, I played through it, too.
Recently, like 2 years ago.
Earlier, maybe it was early last year, or maybe it was like September of 2 years ago.
When we were trying to do Game Club, and we played through it, and I don't think I'm alone in saying, I actually don't think that game's all that fun.
It fell down a lot of spots on our 100 list. When I played it, I thought to myself, I understand that why in 2003 people lost their shit about this game. Because it was a great game for 2003, but it did not hold up exceptionally well.
Yeah.
Same with when we played Psychonauts. It's like, man, if I would have played this back in the day, I would have loved this game. And I still liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it
a lot.
But
I could see, but it's like, man, has age been a cruel, cruel mistress to
for those 3D
to poor
games.
Raz.
But Beyond Good and Evil 2 seems like it is a great thing to update. And they keep saying all these very creative things about it and stuff. And I feel like one of these years, it will be the Ubisoft just one more thing kind of reveal.
I thought it was going to be it last year because they had a trailer that just started with like an open sky and you heard motors. And I'm like, it's going to be like a spaceship. And then it ended up being Trials Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
But then instead it was The Division, which still wasn't playable this year.
No.
Which,
well, I feel like that's a game that you don't need to play to know whether or not you think it's going to be good because so much of the game, it's like an MMO. It's like you go to a convention and they're like, all right, sit down and play 15 minutes of an MMO. It's like, it's an MMO. Yeah. Like that game, it's going to control like Ghost Recon. We know that. It's going to feel and play like Ghost Recon. It's whether or not the stuff that's supposed to happen when you play it for 90 hours works.
Yeah. See, that's the one thing I always think is a challenge with shooter MMOs, whether they're first or third person. It's just, it doesn't ever feel like the stuff that you're doing in the game ever evolves enough to make it fun super long term.
PlanetSide 2 did a pretty good job of that. But PlanetSide 2 also felt like a gigantic game of Battlefield that lasted for like, with like thousands of people.
Yeah. Well, and with the Division 2, it looks like you'll just be fighting dudes, and dudes are
kind of
limited.
Actually, in the new trailer, they showed off,
are there mutants or
no? A
like
new
that?
Variety of dudes. Like you're not just
like
fighting
armored dudes.
Armored dudes with flamethrowers. Yeah. Like you will have a full variety of dudes.
Well, that's one of the things that you know traditional fantasy MMOs benefit from is they can create any kind of monster they want and put it in the game.
Right. Yeah.
When it's something like the Division that's based in reality, it's just kind of like you kind of are a little limited
You got the sniper. You got guy with a shotgun. You got guy with riot shield.
And then guy with a shotgun with heavy armor.
Yeah.
And rocket launcher dude with armor.
Rocket launcher dude with armor. I think it's just safe to say all of these dudes with armor. And then 90% of the guy is guy with the same gun you have.
Yeah. And I don't know why necessarily this is true for me. Like, I'm fine putting hundreds of hours into a game like WildStar or World of Warcraft, even though really the character classes I'm playing do the same thing that entire time with gradual new abilities. But put a gun in my hands, I just feel like I'm shooting the same weapons.
Yeah.
It's like a weird
And especially the enemies you're fighting. It's like we're talking about like there's only seven variety, and it's like I played a bunch of WildStar. The enemy variety is a bunch of different guys that walk up to you and attack you.
Yeah.
Or stand 5 feet away from you and attack you. Yeah, one is a velociraptor and one is a robot bear.
But they do the same thing.
They do exactly the same thing.
And I mean, there's only so much you can do. And I say that as someone who like loves first-person shooters, you have a gun and you shoot it. There's really not much variety there. So
I'm interested to see how Destiny does it too, because that's the other shooter MMO where you have like abilities mixed with shooting, and there's also this like expandable galaxy that you could like find other planets eventually, and that's probably what they're going to do with their 10-year lifespan.
And actually, on the note of The Division, when they revealed The Division and showed that trailer and showed you completing what looked like a single-player mission, and then when you set off a flare, you got attacked by players, that seemed like something that was kind of impossible, but that's literally just Watch Dogs. Like, Watch Dogs has that multiplayer. So just that, except built around that, I can understand how it's going to work.
Yeah, I'm still excited for it, though, and I think it looks really cool.
All right, moving on to number four.
We literally said nothing about Red Dead Redemption.
Beyond Good and Evil.
Oh, wow, we didn't say anything about Red
Dead. I mean,
I guess we're talking about why we're surprised they weren't announced, not the games themselves.
Yeah.
Dishonored 2 is number four.
That was the only...
This one had a leaked shot.
The only I took a cell phone picture of a TV logo that I truly believed. I'm like, yeah, that looks legit. For some reason.
More information at E3 2014.
For like 10 minutes, I honestly wanted to believe it so hard. Mm-hmm. But like right before E3, and I know developers lie, but Harvey Smith got on his Twitter and was like, we're not announcing anything at E3. And he's pretty candid with people when they ask him questions. So I was like, it's not happening.
What developer is that again?
Arkane.
Okay.
And they're rumored, right? Like it was rumored too that they were handed Prey 2 after it kind of fell off the cliff.
I can't imagine that the Prey franchise is more valuable than Dishonored.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, if anything, they're even. Or Dishonored is bigger.
Yeah, I think by this point, Dishonored is a much bigger.
It's definitely their breakout hit.
I assumed Dishonored 2 is like, I think it is a sure thing anyway.
But
I
mean, at some point.
I do as well, but I think we'll probably actually start to hear about it maybe next year.
And maybe it part of it a little is, early I'm yet. Guessing a big deal. A big part of it might be with the fact that 2015 is already violently filled with
crammed,
games. To the point where it's like, it doesn't feel like half of those games can come out. And even if only half did, it would still be the best year in gaming history. It honestly feels like there may be publishers like Bethesda saying, like, hey, we originally were going to ask you to have Dishonored ready for next year, but you know what? Take a year. There's no reason to put this out against all of these games. Like, we're going to throw Dishonored 2 against Batman and Halo in the same month. No way.
Though they did go, when it was announced, they did go up against Assassin's Creed, and everyone's like, are they serious? A new IP against Assassin's Creed?
If you release in a year, you're going to go up against Assassin's Creed.
True.
You're going to go up against Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, and like three other yearly things.
I wanted like a 2-week difference between them, so that was a little crazy, but.
I wonder if they held off on it too just because that Thief game came out this year.
God.
Dishonored was... It was Thief. Like, they were pretty...
A better
Dishonored.
It was a much better
I think
Thief.
Dishonored is to Thief what Uncharted was to Tomb Raider. Where it's like, when it came out, everyone's like, this game's a lot like that game. And then like a year later, they're like, yeah, but it's better. So whatever.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Yeah, I think we will see it eventually.
Oh, I also wonder if Bethesda wants to wait till... Maybe they want to show, Fallout and Dishonored in the same bunch.
Ooh, that would
well,
be
wait,
good.
Did, and you know what they still haven't shown off?
What?
There is a Doom.
There is a Doom game.
I think
it's
confirmed. I think straight up said the Doom will be at Quake.
Yes. It will, and that may be, I mean, they could do Doom and Fallout. Maybe they're just trying to distance themselves from, and that probably means Doom's another game coming out next year.
Nah, Doom will be 16. Well, no, actually, if they're getting the beta out, that'll be out before like a Fallout or a Dishonored.
The beta's
going to
be out. The beta
ourselves.
Is going
to
be out this year. If the beta's out this year, that game can't not be next year.
My prediction,
really shitty
about Doom, is that people will give a shit about it as much as they gave a shit about Rage.
I don't know, because Doom 3 was really popular. It was a long time ago, but Rage was a new IP that people didn't give a shit about. As soon as you get a I think Doom is basically Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've always been that way. Where like when you get a new Doom out, if it's good, people will buy it. That's just the way it is.
Those rumors too. Granted, these were a while ago now, probably at least a year ago. That maybe not quite that long. That Doom was in big trouble.
That basically like every 6 months they'd scrap it and start over. It's like, listen, it's a game on Mars where you shoot. Alien. Like, you shoot demons on Mars. Just make that game and make it pretty, and it's all you really need to do.
Yeah.
But without Carmack there, I wonder if people are really going to be, like, that into it.
Ooh, do
like,
you think Doom will have Oculus Rift support?
No way.
Oh, God.
Illegally, they can't. They're suing.
I bet they go all super out of their way to give it Morpheus support.
No, I bet they will. Awesome. I bet. All right, number three, Gears of War 4.
By the way, I'm really happy there's no EA games on this top seven, so I'm allowed to talk about it.
Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I expected much in the way of Gears of War, but I did think we would have seen perhaps at least just a CG trailer.
I expected a CG trailer.
Like the trailer for... the trailer last year for Battlefront, where it was like, there's snow, here's a speeder, we just got the license, but we're making it.
Yeah,
we
just a tease, I think, would have... I think that would have been enough to, like... get it in people's minds and get them talking about it. We would have written three articles about what it would be.
And that Halo trailer from last year, they were very clear. Like, this isn't a trailer for Halo 5. This is a trailer that we just put together to let you know we were making more Halo games. And if they had decided, like, officially, like, actually you are going to play as Marcus again, just having, like, him be like, not again. And then just showing him, like, Unreal Engine 4 just getting, like, a Lancer that's, like, on fire.
While a really sad song plays in the background. You know, it'd be like, oh, yeah, back to the roots. We get it. So that'd have been
Talk
cool.
Dirty to Me is playing. He's just running down this. Can somebody please? I know that this is my leaving wish. Somebody please recut the original sad Mad World trailer, except with the song Talk Dirty to Me. Just recut that video.
I have a suspicion those are not going to mash up very well.
Just imagining him running down the street with like the thing under the ground, except it's.
That's a grating noise.
And then as it's getting dark and the eyes appear, it's just Talk Dirty to Me.
And then it cuts to black, and it's over.
I'm not totally surprised it didn't show up when you look at what Microsoft decided to show at E3. What their press conference was that they make it very they had a very clear like cutoff point of like, we wanted to show only 2014 games up to this point, and we only have so much space for 2015 games, and Halo 5 is the only one we barely want to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, at least of ones they're publishing, like, they still wanted big third-party stuff, but to have big third-party stuff, you kind of needed 2015 games in there, like Tomb Raider.
It's cool, because there's a lot of games that we know nothing about, like Gears of War, and it's like for as packed as 2015 is, Gears of War is probably a 2016 game, and that's cool that we already know about some 2016 games.
Yeah. Right.
Time to start making a list.
Yeah, a Halo and a... shit, you're right.
New games 2016.
Do it!
We have Halo, getting a Halo and a Gears game in the same year doesn't sound very Microsoft strategy either. Yeah.
They're totally going to stagger those. Mm-hmm.
After we had like Gears Overworld, like I felt like I needed a break from Gears anyway after Judgment, which I liked. I thought Judgment was good.
Yeah.
But I could not play a Gears game for a while and still feel pretty good. I'm not judging. Not judging for it.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. Half-Life 3. It's always on these lists again, just like Last Guardian. What is there to say?
But I think actually, this is definitely one of those ones that shouldn't stay next year. It's kind of moved into this kind of nebulous games that will never come out area. Yeah.
Well, it was a fun joke for a long time. Ha ha, Half-Life 3, right, guys? But now it's kind of like,
It's played out. Just forget about it.
I mean, I definitely want it. I love Half-Life. I want it so bad. But at this point, I'd almost be disappointed if it came out, because then we wouldn't be able to make the jokes anymore, and that's part of the spirit of it.
Well, and I think it can't possibly match whatever expectations you've had. Like, people have had expectations for way too long.
The thing is, Half-Life 3, yes. Half-Life 2, Episode 3 is just, like, they end Half-Life 2's episodes were very clearly a trilogy.
Yeah.
With 2 ending on a massive cliffhanger. Not like a video game cliffhanger where it's like, what are they going to do next? Like, no, seriously, there's basically somebody hanging off of a cliff. And for there just never to have been a conclusion is
weird.
So weird.
It is weird to me that they, you know, said this is a trilogy, an episodic trilogy. Here's one, here's two, and then just never
just quit.
Went back to
and
it.
Then anybody asks them, Gabe is just kind of like, I don't know, maybe soon, wink. And it's like, no, seriously, like, can you guys please?
Well, then he's going to pull out
You've made
knife.
Like 4 games in the time.
And then he'll just buy everyone pizza and they'll forget about it for a while.
I keep thinking of that really gory animation that's on YouTube of Gabe Newell showing up at E3 and announcing on stage with a huge freaking grin where he's like, and we're proud to announce Ricochet 2! And then he like rolls off the stage.
I legit play Ricochet 2. Yeah. I tried to get a Ricochet clan for Cal back in the early 2000s.
Really, I'm very sad for you.
It didn't work. Nobody else would play Ricochet with me. Also, I'm really bad at Ricochet.
Yeah.
I think it is just the like Steam doesn't make Valve has not doesn't make games anymore. They're Steam.
They're making Dota.
They are making Dota.
Every update to Team Fortress is about the size of a new episode for Half-Life.
Well, I do kind of agree with what Henry's saying in the sense that I actually just don't think they're interested in making the types of games they used to make. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think from here on out, their focus is things that have very long lifespans and can generate a shit ton of money.
Yeah, they're
Team Fortress 2, Dota 2.
Off of Steam too.
You want more games from Valve? That's probably, what you'll see.
They could probably rework Left 4 Dead into a free-to-play game that would be really
easily.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would be shocked if that didn't eventually happen.
I think their issue is probably if I had to guess, which I guess there's a microphone in front of me, so that means I do.
You are forced to, yes.
They've probably spent the last few years trying to find a really, really, really innovative way to make Half-Life 3 something basically almost like what Watch Dogs is in terms of the open world share thing. Some kind of single-player, multiplayer thing. If you look back, Valve was actually, I think, publishing a game that was supposed to be called Crossplay. Do you remember Crossplay?
Is that what it was called?
No, it was The Crossing.
The Crossing.
The Crossing.
Okay, The Crossing, where it was basically a game where at any time you were playing a single-player game and somebody would jump into the body of one of the people you're against and just fight against you, and you wouldn't know that all of a sudden an army was being led by a person. And that game vanished. I feel like they're still on that idea and trying to merge this together into a game where you are playing as... Everybody is playing as their own Gordon Freeman doing this thing, but you're seeing people like... They're trying to make the next big leap, and it's just really hard.
Yeah, it just hasn't quite come
when
together.
I think everybody just wants them to make a game where... Ryan, your paper playing with habits have reached an all-time high.
I'm sorry.
That is pretty impressive.
Where I think that they're just trying to find like the craziest thing they can do.
Yeah, this is the free-to-play future that has scared me for the longest time. I feel like it is starting to happen now, where my favorite makers of... campaigns and solo player games, single player games, are now just getting into free to play multiplayer stuff. Yeah. Like the Valve isn't doing it. I was just writing it up. It'll be live on the site before this goes live. But I was writing up my thing for Let It Die, and like number one, there were almost no real details on it, and gameplay was just explained via a strange diagram that Suda 51 in an interview showed to me. He's like, this is the diagram. This is how it works. And it was like a circle with lines around it. Like, see, obviously, like you kill this person, then you come back as that other person, and then you get this. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense. But
makes sense to him.
It also is just that like it is a free-to-play, multiplayer-focused game that is like, which is totally the opposite on what Grasshopper and Suda have been making up to this point. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just... These are the things that scare me, guys. I want to play the games I like.
Though with Half-Life 3, I will honestly take anything before a Half-Life 3 movie. That would be like the ultimate disappointment for me.
I'd rather just say like, no, we abandon it. We're done. You will never see it. Like,
or maybe if they do make a Half-Life 3 movie, they could basically just make it a half-hour-long thing in the Source filmmaker. Like they just released a 15-minute-long Team Fortress 2 sketch,
which was great, and
it
everyone
was
should
amazing.
Watch it.
Amazing.
Yeah, they could just have like, all right, here's what happened after that guy died. Here's him saving Alex. The end. World saved. Like,
spoilers.
GLaDOS. But here's the thing. It's Valve. So you know it would end in a cliffhanger?
Yeah.
Of course it would. But hopefully like a good cliffhanger, like the actual end of Half-Life 2, not a cliffhanger like the end of Episode 2.
I don't know. Number one.
Number
one.
Fallout 4. Which I really did expect to show up in this show.
This was basically the design doc for this game was leaked already. Like, hey, this game's coming out. That's another game where it feels like it's probably a 2016 game or a 2015 game, and it's just not
too crowded.
Well, I think Bethesda is definitely busy. Well, they aren't the direct developers of Elder Scrolls Online, but I feel like it must be an all hands on deck.
No, they're not. Bethesda itself has nothing to do with.
Yeah, they just
Bethesda
published.
Softworks is not.
ZeniMax.
ZeniMax.
Oh, ZeniMax
has
right.
a different developer. Bethesda, as an entity, as far as I can tell, so, had zero to do.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
It, right?
So I think the way it worked was ZeniMax, right? The parent company that owns Bethesda,
the Take Two to their 2K.
Yes, created a development division specifically to make Elder Scrolls Online.
I see.
And Bethesda probably just, you know, helped when they needed. But I don't think they were actually involved in the development. And so that's unrelated. Like, the Bethesda that made Skyrim and all that stuff, they're the ones presumably making
they're
Fallout
probably 4. And they've probably spent the better part of the last few years making a new engine. Because
they fucking need to, man.
Something that works.
It makes me wonder if why, like, this year the reason that they focus so heavily just on Elder Scrolls Online and The Evil Within, which is kind of like, is because they're waiting for those powerhouse series to actually get somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. It would overshadow Evil Within.
They have a lot of games.
Yeah, somehow ZeniMax turned into like a major
into
major
like a
publisher.
Ubisoft.
Like, when did that happen?
Like they have
they just kept buying.
They
stuff.
Have they Doom. Are they Wolfenstein technically?
They were Wolfenstein.
Yes,
yeah.
Doom,
they...
Wolfenstein, Fallout.
Didn't they announce
Dishonored?
That new IP too? That one that's like Team Fortress 2 but with swords. What was that one called?
Team Fortress 2 but with swords.
Oh no, they
Team
had
Fortress
the
2
blood
with
something.
Blood something. Bloodbath. Blood.
Nope.
Horn.
Nope.
Blood.
No.
Porn.
Gonna, nope. Not Bloodborne. That's Sony.
Hopefully not Blood Porn either.
blood,
Jesus.
Blood Porn.
Blood Porn. The video game.
Maybe you know. I think
that's something I'll play.
The way they dealt with Skyrim was to just announce it within a year of release, so I think they might just be sitting on it to not have people wait forever.
And they could start doing that thing where, like, they're not going to announce it. When they announce it, they will announce it in, like, February or March, and then have it come out in October.
Though ZeniMax has such a – Bethesda and ZeniMax have such, like, a loyal audience in Europe that I could also see it as a Gamescom announcement. Like,
maybe.
In August. It
could, yeah, totally. That's true.
Or though Skyrim was a VGA / Game Informer cover.
Skyrim was
just the opposite of Europe.
They just released the trailer for Skyrim. Remember, they just
they had that trailer, but I feel like wasn't it the same week there was a Game Informer cover? Am I just thinking of ESO?
I think you're thinking of ESO.
Okay. Ooh, damn!
There's a party outside. Noise.
Some other freakers are watching some football out there.
Ugh.
Football. Oh wait, why did I just call it football?
Football. No, if you want to call it that, you have to call it football.
Football. Football.
All right, let me. I've gotten more appreciation for Dave Houghton this week because I love seeing that he hates soccer and is totally not into it, and that like.
You basically
feels
have
good to
assume,
see an Englishman that is not into.
You have
it
to assume
all.
That anyone, if you're an American, you have to assume that. Everyone else in the world is obsessed with soccer, and you just don't care. But and when you see somebody in the UK be like, "These fucking idiots need to stop talking about football," it's really funny because it's like, wow, this is also. And I joked about it on Twitter. Watching my Twitter feed be exclusively people talk about soccer makes me realize what people who don't care about games' Twitter feed was like last. Two weeks ago, during E3,
yeah.
People that follow like people who like games just being like. Why is everybody talking about Yoshi made of yarn? What the shit is this? I don't care about any of this.
Yeah.
I had a bad experience in the city this weekend of just like I went to a bar during like the it was an Irish pub, so I think that's why it attracted more of an audience. But I felt like it was all these like fucking posers like who were totally not into soccer, who like this guy wearing an England
fake soccer guys.
Were they yelling? He's offsides and
no, you probably don't even like soccer.
In. Corner kick.
They just like drinking and shouting.
What's your favorite like, soccer player? Nerd.
Hennessy.
This guy was wearing
your boyfriend
like,
David
Beckham.
Plays for you.
This
Beckham.
One,
yeah.
This one guy I know there was wearing like an England shirt, and I was like, like, how far back do you have relatives that actually lived in England? And second, like, how come I have never, in the years I've known you, ever heard you even talk about British soccer during the rest of the season? Like, you're...
Oh, was that someone you knew, not just some guy
in
the bar?
No, somebody,
oh, okay.
Like, just showed up. Then I saw somebody else who, like, she plays soccer regularly, and her father is British. So when I saw her wearing England shirt, I was like, you're legit. Like, I get it.
I'm sure she appreciates your support.
She did. I told her to her face. I was like, no,
hey, look, that asshole, that's a fake soccer guy. You're the real deal.
You're a British person. Have my American stamp of approval.
I just like the idea of Henry saying to her, hey, look, I'll tell you straight to your face. I respect your love for soccer.
You're legitimate.
I respect your love for soccer, but I don't respect that guy's love for football.
Although Pokemon are supporting the Japanese team. So.
Are you then? Oh. Well, the Japanese team already lost, right?
Well, it's not single elimination. I don't even want to talk about the rules of this World Cup.
It's point-based.
Did you
see something
to do with an octopus? Did you see the news about the soccer? There was a game where like I think people in the stadium, there was some kind of story where in Japan they were showing a game in a stadium and because it's a soccer game, there was like tons of people throwing stuff and stuff, but it was Japan, so when they lost and left, apparently they all picked up after themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That was the story that was going around. Up, yeah. They cleaned the stadium when they left.
It's really funny. Also, awesome. I believe it.
Yeah. I do, too. I've had just entire house parties full of Japanese exchange students, and the apartment will be cleaner when they leave than when they came.
Yeah,
I want to hear the background on this.
What is the story? I've just had crazy ass parties with just all Japanese exchange students.
Only invite Japanese.
My house was the place to go for the Japanese exchange students.
I shipped them over, had a party.
No, you took it. So, Lorenzo, that was pretty fucking.
Okay,
so
I'm sorry.
Can you explain this?
I had a roommate who was like, basically all her friends were Japanese exchange students, and I think she's lived in Japan for like 6 years now.
A decade.
A super long time. So she would just invite them all over, and then we'd have a clean apartment when they left.
What is a Japanese exchange student party like? What happens at those parties?
You make hot pot,
okay,
and then the
yes.
couch gets moved across the room, and decks of cards get thrown everywhere.
Hey, so here's a fun story. I think the Chinese parties are the same thing.
You should clarify why real quick. Otherwise, it just sounds racist.
My girlfriend is Chinese. And last New Year's Eve, was it last or the year before?
Year before.
Either one. Had John and his wife over, Coop and his wife over, to hang out with my girlfriend and all of her Chinese friends. And one of the things that they did was they didn't make hot pot, but they made pho. And so they all were eating the, like, 6 hours straight. They just ate nonstop. And then at the end, they threw decks of cards in the air.
Holy crap.
What is that? Why?
What the fuck is going on
here? What does that mean?
And then they made the...
Oh, don't you make those eyes.
What? What?
Shut up. He was just rubbing his eyes.
Don't you make those.
I was going to say...
That got inappropriate.
Didn't they make a molecule out of meatballs?
Yeah, so as soon as the countdown hit zero, one of the things that they did was grabbed all the nearby toothpicks and the bag, like the plate of meatballs, and they're like, oh, and they all assembled a science project.
Are they all chemistry students?
No. And I was like, what are you
doing?
They
just know that
kind
of thing?
We actually have no idea where that
came from. To this day, it's a mystery. I don't know.
And so that is very strange, isn't it? But yeah, so those are the E3 no-shows. hopefully we'll see any of those next year at E3. And now we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some news and other things that are fallout from E3, but not Fallout 4 from E3. And also some reviews that involve punching people. And we're back. It's time to talk about current events, guys. Ooh. Which a lot of things happened after E3. Like, this is kind of a dead zone after E3. Mostly it's just been like fallout of seeing information on that, like, got announced during E3 that not a lot of people noticed, like from interviews and shit.
Right.
Like the one of the biggest ones that Lucas wrote up about the other day was
real quick. Probably acknowledge.
Oh, sorry. Hey, yeah, we've traded out Lorenzo for.
Hey, what's up? Tony Wilson. I'm the intern right now.
This
hey,
is your Tony. First your first podcast?
No, first podcast,
first Radio Radar.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's my last.
It is.
Fun.
This is a weird trade-off.
Yeah.
I happen pre-E3, though. I'm not a post-E3 thing.
Yeah.
But, what's up? Thanks for having me on.
Yep, hey. Yeah, I know you're. This must feel real special to you because you are a long-time Games Radar podcast fan.
Of all of our podcasts.
Of all of them. All like
talk and radio.
Talk, sound, radio.
Oh, yeah, sound.
Pokemon
radar,
Monday, all that
were
stuff.
Were you excited
you
for News
doing?
Radar when I was going to do that? Remember that? When Gary told me I should launch a podcast called News Radar, and then it never happened.
It's probably for the best.
That was a weird time. Anyway, let's talk about recent events. And so, yeah, Lucas wrote about this week that it was Shuhei Yoshida at
Brohei Broshida.
They seemed really into that, by the way. It wasn't like just like, oh, we think this is funny. That like
they expected it to hit meme status.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't, but they just went with it anyway, which made it kind of hit meme status.
Didn't they actually change their Twitter handles to their bro handles?
They did.
Yeah. If I may talk about a competing podcast, on the Giant Bomb they had on Shuhei Yoshida, and he introduced himself as Brohei Broshida.
I really think that they expected it to be just a big joke, and no one found it funny, but it's kind of charming.
But they... Brohei talked about the Vita and how the Vita, we mentioned it last week, like the Vita was kind of like nothing at E3.
Yeah.
Like, not nothing. Our prediction for
E3, we had both this year and last year, we had 99 E3 predictions. Both years, we had two slides. One was Sony will say that they haven't forgotten about the Vita. Then the next slide was, and then proceed to not announce anything for the Vita. Both years we were right.
The one time it was on screen, it had like the free-to-play, some features actually cost money thing on the top of it. Like the one time it was shown.
And then like Tales of Whatever R was like one of their top games.
Oh, Tales of Heart R.
Tales of Heart R, like that's one of the top. Are you a Tales fan? I looked at you for the name of it. I felt like out of everyone else in the room that you might know what it was. With me.
But. I'm not a huge Tales fan, but I did go to their booth.
That's right, yeah.
But the weird thing was they talked about Tales of Xillia 2 a lot. Mm-hmm. They had maybe 1 minute of information about Tales of Heart R, which is basically like, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. Bye, everybody.
That's weird because it's a DS port. Like, it was a DS game, Japan only, now ported to Vita in America. But anyway, we said Sony might not forget about it, but then Brohei said that, like, no, we we are kind of forgetting about it. Like, we're divesting ourselves of making, like, full-scale first-party games for it, right?
Triple A games. He basically said, hey, it's a really good thing the indie explosion hit when it did, because it let us put a lot of content on the Vita in a situation where otherwise we weren't, like, we really don't have anything else. Like, there's still a steady stream of Vita games coming out because they're just indie games that are also hitting PC and PS4 and PS3. Yeah. But without that, he was kind of like, yeah, we'd kind of have been fucked, right?
Yeah, and Henry, right, you wrote, I got confused. But he did mention that, you know, really it's the Vita's purpose now is more as a peripheral for the PS4 and an indie playing machine.
Which, to be honest, it's a cool-ass thing.
It's really good at that.
Imagine if you could take the gamepad somewhere and play a game on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When would PlayStation Now, like, really starts? Like, it'll be a great accessory for that, too. Like, it is a wonderful tool. If I use it more, if it had been just a bunch of Sony first-party games on the level of Gravity Rush and Tearaway, if that was the main thing that kept coming out for the game, or for the system, I think I'd be playing my Vita less. But because I can play Hotline Miami on it, or Luftrausers, or a bunch of weird Japanese games, like, I end up playing it way more often than I would have.
I definitely agree. Because there's, like, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of those games that do come to console, but it's just like, why would I sit on my couch in front of a TV and play this? Like, it's too small of a game for me to really
justify. The option to do that, though, with, what is it, PlayStation TV is what they're calling it over here?
Yeah, where you can play Vita games on your TV. But for me, it's the exciting thing is, like, there are games that, like you said, like, Persona is coming out on the PS3. It's like, do I really want to take my PS3 out of the closet to play Persona? No. But when PlayStation Now hits, I can lay in bed and potentially stream it to my Vita. Yeah. Of course I'm going to do that. And if I didn't have a Vita, I'd probably buy one to do that.
I mean, and it just has a feature set, too, that naturally lends itself to either smaller games or super long SJRPGs.
Just basically, things that aren't first-person shooters.
Yeah.
Even though they work fine on it, too.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, with a game like Hotline Miami, also, I can't wait to play Hotline Miami 2 on the Vita, like, just having earphones in and just staring at the screen, like, is way more an intense experience than doing it on your TV, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's such an entrancing game, and when you can focus on, you know, something that's so much sort of, it's weird to focus on something smaller and be more drawn into it, but it's that idea that it's all right there in your hands, almost like why the Wii U gamepad is so immersive, because it's right there in your hands and in your face.
You're not seeing a TV and an entertainment center, and you can't take your eyes off of it, and you can't do anything else with your hands because you're holding it. It is your entire world when you're playing it. It's almost like
you're forced to focus
it's like
on it.
Cheap ass VR.
Yeah.
In a way.
Oppositely, though, I do think this is like, I think this kind of signals that this is the last traditional handheld Sony will ever make. Like,
probably the last handheld in general Sony will make.
Yeah. Right. I think
traditional
so.
Or not.
I think they're getting more and more into making tablets. Now they're getting rid of Vio. Are they going to make tablets or
I don't know.
Whatever? I bet whenever the PlayStation 5 comes around, or maybe even near the end of the PS4 generation, then they'll have just a phone that can basically do Vita things that'll talk to your PS4. But that's probably the end of it. But I think it's too bad that the Vita is such a great, great piece of tech that they just kind of have to transition it into this role instead of it being a success
so
that they wanted.
If you look at, like, so you have Killzone, Mercenary, and Uncharted are sort of the proving points for it as a AAA machine. Mm-hmm. Both games are very good, and most people, when I played Uncharted, I'm like, yeah, this was okay. It feels like a Vita version of Uncharted, and that's not a good thing. It feels like, it's like, oh, this game series you love, except less powerful and smaller. The other thing that he said was that, like, when the Vita launched, you are holding a PlayStation 3 in your hand, and that's impressive. The PS4 is out right now, and you're holding a last-gen system in your hand. It's almost like where the PSP was, where it's like it's a lot less impressive when it's not up to par with the modern generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's another reason why it doesn't make sense for them to go all in on Vita experiences when, like, it's not going to match what you can play on your newest system, when they could just make a game for the PS4 that is downscaled to the Vita or that you can stream to the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there really was, like, almost no other news. I was going to talk about my editorial, but, you know, we'll save that for question of the week in the third segment. But real quick, Ashley, what was the thing? Or no, wait, shit, Lorenzo wrote about that. Sorry. I thought you wrote about the Atari.
Well, I read it. I could try and talk about it real quick.
Yeah, what was that?
Atari was trying to say what it was going to do to salvage its future as a company. Mm-hmm. And they were basically
I'm surprised
like,
they even exist anymore.
And if I recall correctly, basically what they said was, we're going to make some cool piece of hardware. Maybe it'll be a watch you can wear on your hand that does something cool or something. Like they were like giving these very vague statements, just like, what the hell are you talking about?
Is it a watch? No,
well, they don't have any particular plan in place, but they're like,
just a building there's just a building with a bunch of people working in it, just being like, I don't know, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. We could make a watch. We're going to make solar panels. I don't know. We can do anything.
And the short version of the article was, Atari wants you to believe that it has a future. It just doesn't know what that future is. Maybe it'll be making a watch. Maybe, and they mentioned specifically, they might leverage the gambling and LGBT.
Yeah,
is that how you say that?
Real money, web gambling, LGBT. It was a really weird list of...
And they're just like scattershot ideas. Like, maybe
those two things together, it's like, what are the... Like,
well, that's what Lorenzo brought up.
You're going to be allowed to gamble on homosexuals.
Yeah, it's like...
That's all they're saying. They don't have more details.
Yeah, it's just like, is that... particular group of people more prone to gambling? Like, why are you even bringing them up in the same breath? And so basically the whole thing is Atari wants you to know it is still a thing and will be relevant again one day. How it will get there? Shooting a million ideas out and hoping one of them lands.
It's like the virtual idea of just hiring someone to dig a ditch and fill it back up. Like, what are they actually doing over there?
I hope it's like everything as one thing. Like a
gambling phone?
A gambling watch that's directed toward homosexuals. Yes. That'll work. LGBTQ. Yay!
Great. All right. Let's talk about previews real quick. I put this as just E3 cleanup. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I ended up writing up a few more of my previews this week, the ones that were not high profile enough to be written in the rush of E3 last week, though that still kind of mattered to me. And so I thought, see if you guys had any you wanted to talk about, too. I'll start with my first one.
Sure.
Well, I'll make it a little brief, but... well, first, I really love Captain Toad. Like, I thought Captain Toad was awesome. I think I talked about it last week, but I also saw the Devil's Third game, which was, like, the surprise announcement of Nintendo's, like... Nintendo is publishing the next game from the creator of the guy who remade Ninja Gaiden and Dead or Alive, like, Tomonobu Itagaki. Like, first off, I was pissed off that Itagaki was supposed to interview me, and he totally flaked. He was like, nah, not doing it. I'm going to send my friend to do it, who was honestly probably way nicer than Itagaki would have been. He was cooler.
I think every story you hear of Itagaki is basically him being a 1980s metal star.
No, that is...
Too cool for school.
Like, I went to a THQ party, which I guess was probably... He was probably only there because of the Devil's Third. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Itagaki and, like, a posse of, like, five other guys all show up in, like, white suits. And then Itagaki and his friend both get pushed into a pool. And it's they're wearing sunglasses. It's on the rooftop of a building. And it's just, like, the most, like... I imagine that he immediately went and threw a TV out a window. It's, like, that kind of thing. Like, nobody else was going in the pool. It was a party in the middle of the night.
But the game itself looks interesting to me, at least in that, like, it also seems like it could be just very predictable. First off, it should have been playable at E3. Like, I was disappointed it wasn't. But, it's, like, super violent, hyper-violent, as you would expect from Ninja Gaiden, except now they're adding guns to it. And the main character, like, has all these... One of the weirdest things that I saw, the main character, who's this guy covered in Japanese tattoos... is that one of the screens, for no reason, I didn't see it in the trailer, but one of the screenshots they sent us is like him sitting behind a drum kit, and he's like playing the drums. So I was like, "What? Why is this happening?"
He's actually Ravi Drums in disguise.
That's what
Nintendo can't let him go.
Obscure Nintendo reference from
Ravi
E3
drums,
4 years ago.
He pauses for applause every once in a while, never gets it.
Ravi Drums should have gone into hiding after that. And then his other
And then he became a serial killer. The Devil's Third.
And then they showed off the multiplayer, which seemed pretty interesting because it's like this weird big competitive multiplayer, but also with like build your own levels and stuff, and just like they give you a map and then they say you want to put the building there, put things here, you want to make the objective in this game, in this level, collecting multicolored chickens, okay, or do you want to collect
watermelons?
I like the
idea that that's the only option. It's like, you want to make it multicolored chickens? Okay, good, because that's actually...
Here are the wide range of colors you can pick for your chicken.
It is a multiplayer-focused, hardcore, like, M-rated game coming to the Wii U, only to the Wii U, and so it kind of is the only one of its kind on the system. Mm-hmm. And lastly, that when I had to laugh, the guy showing the game to me, or not showing the game to me, talking about the game to me, then said, like, have you seen the multiplayer trailer? Let me show you. And he turned on his iPad. And then when the trailer started, it started with, like, 15-second long, like, logo presentation of, like, this is the logo for Valhalla Games, our new game studio. I was like, this is lasting a long time. But it was funny that it was, you guys know the Team Ninja logo, how it's like, you know,
there's water,
a bunch of like crashing waves on a stormy sea, and then it flies up to like Team Ninja, like starts out crashing waves on a stormy sea, but then shows like a Norse like boat, like the kind like Thor
Viking.
Would be. Yeah, Viking yeah. boat. And then it's like Valhalla Games, like, they like just stole, they just took Ninja Team Ninjas and just did it again, but with a boat on it. Like,
that's funny.
Seems mean spirited. All right, anybody else?
I got one quick one. Dreadnought, made by Jaeger, who made Spec Ops The Line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
It's a free-to-play PC.
Yep, don't care. Okay. Sorry.
Free-to-play competitive multiplayer game. They won't talk about the microtransactions yet because they said they're doing something special, which I have no idea what it is. But the gameplay itself is basically, the trailer they showed off was great because it shows two like X-wing sized ships getting ready to fight, and then a ship like 100 times their size smashes them, because the point of their game is it's a ship fighting game with like spaceships, except the ships are all the size of like the Millennium, or not the, they're all like the smallest is like a like 50 times bigger than the Millennium Falcon, and then there's the most of them are like Battlestar Galactica sized.
Wow.
Where and or like they're just gigantic huge cruisers, so it feels like you're in the Battle of Yavin, except everyone's controlling Star Destroyers, and it looks really good and plays really cool. Like, you should just like launch nukes at your enemies, and the different ships all travel different speeds because they're gigantic spaceships. It was just really, really cool in that way. And
you might call nukes Jaeger bombs.
Get out.
Guess what? It's your last Radio Radar also.
last one.
But it just looked really cool. And honestly, I saw a lot of games at E3 that were free to play that, I mean, I don't have a hatred against free to play. I feel personally like free to play MMOs usually are better when they start as paid, because you need to get that original huge budget and everything. But there's a lot of games that it feels like people are really learning from League of Legends in that, like, of how to make a competitive game that isn't pay to win, that's free, that will still make people want to spend money.
Yeah.
So that, because I talked about, I think last week I talked about Hunt, the Gilded.
Which sounds awesome. Hunt the Gilded Age.
The Hunt. I think it's
something.
Hunt the Gilded Age.
I think it's. Is it?
Or it's.
It's Hunt. I think there's monsters.
Horrors of the Gilded Age.
Yeah, Hunt Horrors of the Gilded Age.
Got it.
But yeah, that was also free to play, and they're basically like, yeah, it's a full game, except you can buy hats, but otherwise, it's a full game.
That's the Valve method.
Yeah. I'll say I did get to hang around the Indiecade booth a little bit, and one of the things that I played there that was really freaking creepy and I had a hard time playing is a game called Neverending Nightmares, and I was talking to its developer, a guy who suffers from a mental disability, and he was talking about, I wanted to make a game that was, you know, while you're playing it, you kind of get through playing it, you're getting a sense of like what living with something like that is like. And so it's a scary game. It's a horror game. So now you know why I had a really difficult time sitting there while people were watching me and I was screaming out loud. It has a really, really cool art style, and you play as this character and you wake up from a nightmare, and it's like the house seems very haunted and weird, and there's lots of creepy shit going on. And every time you keep exploring a little bit, something super creepy and scary happens, and then you wake up from another nightmare, and it's like this cycle that you have to try. The goal of the game is to try and figure out how to break out of that and actually wake up. So I thought it was a really cool idea, and it was, in fact, scary, very cool art style, and I think it's actually on Early Access on Steam or something right now.
I was going to ask, because I remember reading about that game a while back. I was curious how close to release it actually was.
Yeah, I think it's really close. So.
Okay.
And I think there were a couple that I saw that I think I'd want to talk about. Like, obviously, I saw the big ones, but we've talked a lot about, like, Assassin's Creed.
We talked about
Fantasia. There were two that I found pretty interesting. There's one I'm kind of conflicted about, but it's a cool premise. It's called Blue Estate, and it's this...
Yeah.
I did a preview about it just a little bit ago, and it's this rail shooter where you're a gangster, and you're walking around these different places just blowing everyone away, and it's really... every once in a
while.
What's
it coming out for?
Xbox 360 and PS4. Not sorry, Xbox One and PS4.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
But they're really like, they're really playing up the PS4, like using that as a gyroscope. So you just like set it and then you control it by moving the controller around.
Oh, cool.
Which I actually found a little bit annoying while I was getting used to it, because I was trying to like lift the controller up like automatically. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even realizing I was doing it. It made it a lot harder to play. Mm. But once you get the hang of it, it's actually a really interesting concept. It's definitely kind of a light rail gun kind of effect. And I think what made it so interesting was that in addition to just this craziness that's going on around you, like every once in a while someone will pop in and say something ridiculous or something. A guy will like run at you down a hallway with a machete and just like try to take you out, and you can just like slap him across the face. And then weirdly, they keep playing up this mechanic where you like hair will fall in your face and you have to brush it out of your eyes with like the control on the front of the
game of the year.
And I'm just like, they keep playing that up. I'm like, it doesn't work. It really doesn't work. But really, like, the whole package is a really interesting, and it's like incredibly vulgar and like weirdly charming in being so vulgar. So if you're into that kind of thing, I would definitely say to play that one. And then the second one from Focus, the second one from Focus I thought was interesting was actually the Sherlock Holmes game. Despite being a point and click, it was actually pretty engrossing, which is why when I was watching it and the person who was demoing it just like kept talking, I'm like, no, I want to experience
like
the game. Come
seven?
On. Something like
so
that.
I heard
that this is one called Crimes and Punishments.
Crimes and Punishments, yeah.
But then that you pick how, like, you choose if someone's guilty or not, and then you don't know, like, and how you're going to punish them, but you don't know how, if they, it doesn't tell you the truth if they did it or not.
Weird. You can find out, like, at the very end, it'll give you the option to see if you were right or wrong. Mm-hmm. They were actually like, we wouldn't do this. It takes away from the experience. But if you really want to know if you guessed right, the option is there. And I think that's, like, really distressing if you realize you guessed wrong, because our person who was demoing it actually did, sent the wrong guy to jail. Ew. And it was like, oh, jeez. Crap, okay. So that's a pretty interesting aspect of it, too.
That's really cool.
It is really interesting. And it's also just so Sherlock Holmesy and corny and funny, so that was pretty good. Hmm. I like that, too.
I wasn't down in L.A. with you guys. I was part of the home team, but yep. Cuphead. Looks so cool, and I'm sure it's already come up on an
actually,
episode or
no,
so.
I don't think we did talk about Cuphead.
Somebody no, mentioned it, but not us.
Well, I watched the trailer for it. I saw it just look like it. What I love about it looks like a Betty Boop cartoon, mm-hmm. but it's a platformer. Like, that's what I love.
Yeah, it seems to be very Mega Man-esque. You mm-hmm. have Cuphead and Mugman, and I think also the developers, I believe this is the game where they're going for like the highest number of boss battles.
No.
No, that's not them.
No.
Either way, these
that
guys
was Hunt.
These guys are going for a lot of boss battles. Oh,
okay.
I know that.
Yeah, Hunt, the developers were big about, like, we want to have the most bosses.
Okay. Well, the Cuphead guys are at least going for
a lot.
Yeah, they want at least two per level, something like that. And we saw, like, the blue slime-looking one, the big sunflower. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And as Hank pointed out, it looks like an old Betty Boop cartoon. Like, mm-hmm. and even in the middle
or
of that
Popeye or whatever.
Yeah, even in the middle of that quick little sizzle reel, it was up for like 5 seconds, but it was enough for most of us to go, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, no, that does look awesome. All right, so enough about games that may come out, but let's talk about ones that did come out, including one I think Cooper might not be able to talk at all during, but EA Sports UFC. That was the big review of this week.
He's not the only one who won't talk.
It's probably like the biggest review of the next 2 months.
So just so you guys know, there is literally nothing coming out in July.
It's a shorter podcast.
And June is, well, almost over, but also pretty sparse.
You know what sucks is there's no Summer of Arcade this year to even look forward
That's
to.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, well, there is no more arcade. Like, Xbox Live Arcade isn't a thing.
They should just have the Summer of Games and just make it digital stuff. Mm.
That'd be pretty nice.
But, yeah, I mean, I actually haven't played much of EA Sports UFC, but I can talk a little bit about what our reviewer, Dave Rudden.
And I talked to Dave Rudden a little about it, too.
Okay, cool. What do you have to say?
Well, I think he liked it. Right?
Yeah. My understanding is the combat is actually really good, mm-hmm. particularly when you're playing with another person.
Yeah.
The bigger complaints are the career mode is really, really shallow, disappointingly so, especially in comparison of to THQ's UFC games, and that also the single player AI. The AI opponents are really, really weak, particularly when you're using submissions.
Yeah, I heard he thought it was weird that after there was all this big kerfuffle about not having female playable characters in Assassin's Creed Unity, which, you know, maybe there should. I don't see why you can't play as one woman in the game. Though I heard a better excuse for that, which was that they're just duping the guy who is the main character. Like, all the other three people with you are that guy, too.
Yeah. That was pretty much the reasoning I heard, and they just phrase themselves poorly with their first excuse. Very, 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 very poorly.
Yeah. Well, but what I was saying, sorry, was that Dave said that, like, the female fighters leave something to be desired in this game, too, is that, like, they don't even have a career mode. You can't make new female fighters, and it's just, I don't know how many people are buying the game to play as the women of UFC, but if you were, like, it's kind of...
I feel like, though, that's probably just a symptom of the fact that the actual... I mean, these are all actual or have been, right, like, licensed UFC fighters, and the problem is the female division of that is still pretty new. Like, there's just not that many. It is a little weird, I guess. Like, if you were to do a career mode playing as the female fighters, you would have about four matches, and then you would have fought everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, there's really just not that many. Maybe it is a little weird that you couldn't, like, one workaround could have been creating a bunch of different female fighters, populating the roster that way.
It does look gorgeous, though.
Yeah. No, it is a really, really pretty game. So.
Yeah, and it came out at the right time. Like, no, yeah. There's nothing else to play right now. So yeah. There
Perfect.
Won't even, actually, there won't even be an NCAA game this year. Will they? They cancel that. No. So it's like July really is like nothing.
Barren. Yeah.
No, it's like literally a One Piece game, which I think Tony is the only person on the planet that cares about.
Which, when a Wii U exclusive One Piece game is the most important game of July. That's going to be a hard one to do the game of the month for also.
It's time to play all your old games that you haven't
There's
got to
yet. There's another game coming out in July.
Oh.
And I believe we're going to have an interview with the creator of that game after this podcast. That one game is the iOS game made by the lead singer of Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, M. Shadows.
M. Shadows.
Mm-hmm. Hello, that's my boy, right. M. Yeah. Shadows.
So,
our good buddies at Avenged Sevenfold.
Our good buddies. They're big gamers.
I used to hang out. I was hanging out with M. Shadows when he wrote Unholy Confessions.
That's not true.
I know.
But Hail to the King Deathbat is coming out, and I think we're going to have the interview after this. After this episode, we'll have the interview.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Very nice. So you can hear him not using his sweet, sweet vocals to... he's not going to be singing. He's just going to be talking.
He sings for a little.
Oh, does he?
No.
Oh,
okay.
So what did Dave Run score it, by the way?
He gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Good good combat. Really fun to play with friends. Really shallow campaign or career mode and pretty not great AI.
So that's more like a kind of satisfying like judge's decision instead of like a knockout or an armbar or whatever. Right.
I don't know enough about UFC terminology to confirm or deny what
you
just said.
Watched way more.
I do enjoy watching it. I don't memorize the words that they say.
I was super into UFC, into MMA. I dislike that UFC has become the NFL of fighting. Like, MMA is the sport.
There's Bellator.
MMA, I was super into it from 2000 to 2006. But then, like, you guys have watched it way more than I have lately. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well. All right.
It's fun.
But speaking of people getting hurt in masochism, the other review this week was...
Just Dance.
Actually, we have two.
Oh, okay. But well, what was the other one?
Enemy Front.
Oh,
well, yeah, that just went up.
Right. We just posted right before we started recording.
What did we score?
Yeah, what was that?
3 out of 5. Sounds like has some cool ideas, but pretty shitty execution on some of those.
What was that game?
It's a World War II first-person shooter that
trying
has
to set it like give it a little bit of a different setting.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I think what they're trying to do was make it so the maps were much bigger. Sort of like if you think of like not an open world, but like big, almost like Crysis-style levels where they're open and you can do some different things.
I'd kill for a good World War II game like that.
Yeah,
so
I guess
cool.
The big problem our reviewer was talking about, like, if you don't use stealth in those giant levels, then you're just going to immediately get overrun and murdered. So it sounded pretty frustrating, and it has really shitty tactile multiplayer. But it's decently enjoyable, and it's a budget game. I think it's only like $40, $30, something like that.
I remember when budget games were $20. Yeah.
So 3 out of 5 on that one. But let's talk about this other one.
Yeah, you ruined my segue.
I'm sorry.
But hey, speaking of masochism and
speaking about getting overrun, if you're not stealthy.
Speaking of multiplayer that is fun.
Okay, yeah. Tony, what was you did your first review for us this week.
I did.
What was that?
I did 1001 Spikes.
Which is apparently a remake of a game that no one is really familiar with.
Was a Japan-only game called, like, like Hero Johnson and the 1,000 Spikes or something.
Oh.
Yeah, so you were very close, actually. yeah, it's...
I'm disappointed myself I didn't know the exact name of the original.
Yeah, it's a downloadable title on a bunch of different platforms.
On pretty much everything, yeah.
Definitely a masochistic game. It is a platformer, simple point A to point B, you know, but... Getting there is very difficult. Every level is just full of so many traps.
A lot of spikes.
Yeah, there's literally a level called 1001 Spikes, and just about every inch is covered in spikes that sort of, you know, pop in and out, and you have to time.
Very unpredictable.
All around that stuff, yeah. And in fact, timing around the obstacles, that's pretty much the main thing that you're going to do while playing this, especially when you get some of the later levels. It's almost ridiculous just figuring out how you're supposed to path through these things. There's a stage with these rolling boulders, and you literally have to time yourself to slip in between the boulders while they're running or while they're rolling by. Yeah.
And you have to run at the same time as it and pop out. Wow.
Yeah. It is very difficult, but that makes actually finishing the level like feeling awesome. Like I was definitely cheering.
Well, that sounds a lot like, say, like, you know, N Plus or Super Meat Boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what like makes it kind of different? Is there any like thing that really makes it different for that?
Well, it's very much like that adventurer type feel, right? So you are going through these sort of temples or jungle type things, and the only thing you could do is jump, either a short jump or a high jump, and you can throw these knives. But the cool thing is that you learn as you're playing that those simple actions actually let you do a whole lot more than you think. Like they're flying darts in a lot of levels, and you find out kind of usually by accident that, oh, I can actually deflect those darts by throwing my own knives.
Yeah,
so you find a lot of new ways to use these very limited actions you have. Mm. And then the levels themselves also, I know you bring up when you talk about Mario Galaxy a lot, the fact that a lot of levels will kind of use one idea one time, and that's it. So 1001 Spikes does that a lot. There's one level in particular where there's this like totem pole that will jump around, but it only faces the direction opposite you. So you have to like ride it backwards into like a rain of needles and stuff and try to avoid them while facing away from them. And that's something that you only do once. Only one level has that.
That sounds pretty cool. And did it ever feel like too difficult or like it made you want to go like, I would stop? Were there moments where you're like, I wouldn't be playing this if I wasn't reviewing it?
Probably when you get to some of those later levels, in all honesty. You have the option to skip levels, though, which is handy. The thing is, unless you actually finish every level, you can't go on to the final stage or two. So they lock you out of like the true ending.
I've seen that in like a Nintendo game did that pretty recently. That there was somebody
Yoshi's New Island had a thing where it was like every level would have like a, hey, you died a lot. Do you want to play as a Super Yoshi? And then when you get to the end, it's like, yo, you can't use it. If you beat, like, you have to go back and beat them without Super Yoshi if you want to.
Which, yeah, I knew somebody who just used Super Yoshi in some of those levels, and they were like, well, this game's too easy. But you didn't see the end of the game. That bothered me just a little bit. But yeah, like, so you. But I think in a hell game like that, like you need that is kind of needed to be the ability to skip.
And you can kind of blow off steam with the multiplayer stuff too, because while it uses like the same spike traps and dart traps and stuff, in the multiplayer mode, it's the levels you have way more space to move. There are far fewer traps, that's because you have ones that are competitive and cooperative. You have like a keep away mode, which is that's really cool to try to keep away while this other guy's chasing you. And you're still trying to avoid all these traps. And then you have sort of like this tower climb mode that you can play together, which I didn't actually realize was cooperative while I was playing it. So I was continuously killing Lucas, even though we weren't actually supposed to be killing each other.
Oh, yeah. Ryan and I played it a little bit. It was fun.
Yeah, it is
fun.
Really cool.
All right. Well, so what did you give it in the end?
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Sounds good. I since there's going to be pretty dead time now for the next few months, maybe I'll give that a shot.
On a 3DS eShop. That's probably a good place to play.
I really should play something on my Xbox One. I should turn on my Xbox One at some point. Actually, no, I was playing Watch Dogs on that. You guys don't need the status.
The third game in the Dogs trilogy. It was Nintendo Dogs, Sleeping Dogs, and then Watch Dogs.
That's right. All right, so that's the end of that segment. When we come back, the question of the week, both your answers and, you know, it's the community segment. That's the name of it. Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah, community segment. Community segment when we get back. Hey, we're back, everybody. The community segment. Radio Radar.
No, no, we don't do that.
Oh, no, we don't do that. No. Forget
that,
I started.
That being said, Cooper. In the near future, we could certainly use a new community segment jingle.
Let's, and I'd argue, as somebody who's about to leave, that we should probably, you guys should probably get one that doesn't.
No, name anybody.
Just a nameless community segment jingle.
Wait, no.
With Games Radar.
Yeah, there you go. Nobody is
neutral sound effect.
No one is guaranteed tomorrow, guys. Let's, you know, you think about it that way.
Unless you're Tom Cruise in The Edge of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Groundhog Day with guns?
Yeah.
That movie was cool. Was
so I don't think we had any corrections from last week, though somebody can correct me on this.
I have a correction from last week.
No.
all the people in the comments who were like, correction, Ryan, go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that.
So last week I had mentioned I had a slight pain in the back of my left leg that had been there for a few days. And I wondered aloud, perhaps it might be a blood clot because I'm an unhealthy individual and I sit most of the day. Mm-hmm. And which many of you, thank you so much for responding. It's good to know people care about my health. There were at least like 6 to 8 responses just in the comments. I got a few Twitter DMs and messages. So it was, you know what? I did not, in fact, go get my leg checked, but I now no longer have any pain there. And I think it's very much to do with all of your concern. So thank you.
All the good karma and vibes came your way and helped you out.
Sent you healthy thoughts.
Yeah. All right, so last week's question of the week was, and now that E3 is over, what game are you most looking forward to? Which, Tony, you were not on last week, so why don't you answer that?
Really? Bloodborne, hands down. Huge fan of the Souls games. I'm so excited to see it in, and I know it's not, doesn't have Souls in the name, but come on. I'm excited to see it in this like Victorian setting.
Ooh, Blood Souls.
See, that would work.
Dang it, why don't
they
call
that? I wonder if Sony was just like, I wonder if From Software wanted to use the Souls
they
name.
They came with, like, From Software shows up to a meeting and opens up a briefcase and like, here are the 30 names we have. Blood Souls, Fight Souls, Kill Souls. And
Soul
Sony's
Born.
Just like,
no, they said during the demo it was very intentional not to include Souls in the name.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But right. We're not a one-trick pony, so here are the fog gates.
I think they were more like spirit gates from the footage, it looked like, but that looks very cool. I'm very excited for that.
Did someone else say Bloodborne? I feel like
I did. I'm pretty sure.
Everybody is excited
great
for that.
Great minds. Think alike.
I'm more excited for Captain Toad. But anyway.
I'm excited to see that work
as
a full
by the
game.
Way, also a roguelike with fog gates.
I just feel
Toad Souls.
I just loved when I wrote up
Dark
my
Toads.
Captain. I love that when I wrote up my Captain Toad preview, I could quote myself saying that it should be made into a game.
Yes,
it felt really good. That's
they
awesome.
Listened to you.
It felt
finally,
established. Yeah.
They all laughed. They laughed at me when I said to a Nintendo developer like, "Hey, I felt like you guys made this game for me." They're like, "Yeah, we totally did." I was like,
"He knows." All right. Miyamoto looked at Twitter and said. Him. Make a game for him.
So the first responder I'm going to read is Sunny D, regular old Sunny D, which is the game I am most looking forward to out of E3 will have to be the EA golf game. Seeing the Frostbite 3 logo before a golf game gave me all sorts of excitements towards the game. I also love the concept of the fantasy golf courses, battleships. It reminds me of Mario Golf and how they had 6 extra fantasy stages to play in addition to the regular courses.
And Cooper over here is just like rubbing his hands together like, yeah, I got one.
I'm still so sad. That was the one thing they didn't have on display.
Yeah, it wasn't at E3 at all.
I'm excited to tee over all manner of destroyed things.
I was going
to
say, like, taking aside the fact that, whatever, me working for EA, but the fact that they showed off a Battlefield level, and it's like, that's cool, but real talk, if they're like, and here's the Dragon Age level, mm-hmm. and here's the Dead Space level, it's like, that is really fucking cool. Well,
that'd be great.
I will actually play a golf game.
Yeah, if those are things.
The Mass Effect stage, there's Shepard, his disgruntled corpse, trying to take that last breath, and you're just putting over his face.
There's actually 3 different holes you can hit it into.
That got weird. All right, G-Luna46.
No, he's talking about the choices in the end of Mass Effect. Not
if you hit it into the green hole.
You are misreading everything I do today.
I need psychological help. That's a fact.
Yeah, 3 holes were the ending, not a romance option.
Well, I could think of two, and then I thought maybe he must have one limb missing, and then you're talking about an artery or something.
What is happening?
Well, you're assuming that the Shepherd is a man, and that is sexist of you. Like, Shepherd can,
God, can we
Ryan.
Just cut this whole section out?
Nope.
Now I want to go cry in a corner. That is fucked, and I apologize to all listeners. This was I'm a terrible human being. G-Luna 46 says, in terms of trailers, the trailer to Uncharted 4 blew me away. The fact that this might be... There is no punctuation in this. This is one paragraph.
Start over. Do not pause.
One breath.
Okay. G-Luna, you brought this upon yourself. In terms of trailers, the trailer to Uncharted 4 blew me away. The fact that this might be Drake's last adventure looked very promising and actually made me want to go back and replay the previous Uncharted games. Oh, there was a period. Halo Master Chief Collection.
We're running out of steam, so that's good.
Halo Master Chief Collection looked awesome too. I wish I had XB1 just so I can make a playlist of single player levels I would love to replay with my cousin online. But the thing that really blew me away was Nintendo. They made me want to get Wii U now. Smash Brothers looks cool and New Zelda looks beautiful.
All caps. Beautiful.
Thank you, G-Luna46.
You sounded like every Q&A session at a PAX panel.
Winner 2 said, Witcher 3 for me followed closely by Bloodborne. That Woo! New Witcher trailer was amazing, and I'm looking forward to just losing myself in that world for days. It's so sad looking at it all on Steam and thinking, this game unlocks in 9 months. So far away, but it will be worth it.
All right, Spade Slick says, what I'm looking forward to the most out of E3 is surprisingly the indie games. I used to be one of those people that couldn't see why PC people cared so much about every random $4 game that came out, but the indie scene is where we are seeing some really interesting things transpire. Ori and the Blind Forest, woohoo! Mm-hmm. And Cuphead, yeah. Woohoo! Look absolutely astounding, and I will be buying both day one. The second I saw Cuphead was the second I was left wondering how no one else had this idea before.
There you go.
I agree 100%.
And Mouse Clock says, Cuphead and Grim Fandango. Unfortunately, it looks like I'll need to buy both an Xbox One and PS4 to play both of these. Sorry, wallet. Mm-hmm. Such a sad state of affairs.
I like those last two because they go into my editorial so well that both of those are like, these are tiny exclusives that are convincing people to buy next-gen systems, not Titanfall or whatever. So, you know, the winner I'm going to go with, Winner 2. That's what I'm going to go with. He's got winner in the title. You know, Coop, I forget what the patter is for this. What do we say? How do they win? Or they won something? Or
send us an email at radioradar@gamesradar.com and we will give you something.
Okay.
If you won.
Easy.
Exactly. Include in there what consoles you have, what you like, what you don't like. Your favorite thing about Radio Radar and what you imagine when you close your eyes and think of Ryan Talgenic. All those.
Oh, no.
From now on, that three holes thing. I'm not going to be able to shake that. Oh,
all right.
Let's not. Come
Ryan,
on, guys.
Three holes Talgenic. Oh.
God damn it.
All right. This week's question of the week, guys, because I wrote this whole editorial about. I just want to talk about that editorial a lot. It was just about how. Sony focused on all these indie games and smaller titles and getting them as exclusive, at least not on the Xbox One, but on the PS4. Well, meanwhile, Microsoft focused on like Dead Rising 3 and Titanfall. Like those were their big exclusives, and they were just like giant expensive things. And I would say that like Sony's worked out better for them so far. But just in the idea of exclusives, was there ever an exclusive game that you saw that convinced you to buy a system that you might not have otherwise bought, or at least bought at that time?
I'll jump into this first. I don't remember the exact name of the game, but I know Henry will. I started as a PSX fanboy, but when I went over to my cousin's house and saw how much higher the caliber was of wrestling games...
on the 64, yeah.
On the N64, I immediately was like, the PlayStation is dead. I need to convince my parents to get an N64. What game would that have been? It was a WCW.
Oh, it was WCW.
No Mercy?
No Mercy was a WWF one. It would have either been WCW versus NWO World Tour.
It was, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, or Revenge.
I think it was World Tour, and I was like, this game is so much better. I was ridiculously into wrestling, and that was the game that was like, that started my path back into the Nintendo way for a while.
I can answer this, too. I actually had a weird one where I went back a generation. I had an NES, And then my parents bought me a Genesis, right? So I missed out on Super Nintendo, and I really loved playing it at my cousin's house. And then when I played Chrono Trigger for the first time, I knew I had to have a Super. This was already when I had my PlayStation, was playing like Final Fantasy, all this stuff. I needed a Super Nintendo to play through Chrono Trigger. And so I never actually got it, but I would have done it had I had money. I was still pretty young at that point, so I couldn't convince my parents. But I wanted to go back a gen and buy a Super Nintendo to play all the awesome JRPGs I missed out on.
Well, I'm going to go with the Halo, the original, for Xbox, because I was dismissive of Microsoft system. Look, I'm a Japanophile. I like Japanese-made games. Like that, I'm not gonna lie. But it was more so that just like at the time, it just seemed like, oh, Microsoft thinks they can buy their way into the console market. Well, I don't think so. You're not as good as Star Wars Rogue Squadron or Smash Brothers. But then, like, in the months that followed, my friends didn't want to play Smash Brothers at Melee as much anymore as they wanted to do LAN parties of Halo.
Why didn't you just convince them that Time Splitters 2 was the better game? And plus, there were so much better shooters on PCs anyway, you really didn't need to buy an Xbox.
Are you channeling Fanboy Cooper?
I'm not channeling him. I am become him.
We should. I wanted at least one more appearance by him out there. But I definitely
you lobbed a softball to me.
I definitely did say that about Time Splitters later on, but I didn't want to be left out, my friends, so I bought Halo. Also, I think it was at the same time as I bought Halo, there was the trailer for Ninja Gaiden there, and the first trailer for that, which I thought was amazing. Like, it had Ryu fighting a giant monster thing at the end of it. I was like, all right, if that's coming, then I want an Xbox. Plus, you know, I was a privileged young kid, so I had a lot of money to waste on multiple systems. Mm-hmm.
I think definitely for me it was and it was actually kind of a jump forward, because I was pretty much Nintendo until like right before high school, right as high school started. And then this actually PS2. My friend happened to bust out. I was like, here, let's play this game. It was Final Fantasy X. And I'm like, what is this amazing thing? And I just became so obsessed with all the Final Fantasy games after that I actually just deposited cans, enough cans that I could buy a PlayStation 2. That took weeks.
Wow, whoa.
That's how weeks. Bad I how, wanted
how,
it.
How many sodas were you drinking to get that much money in weeks?
6 months worth with a giant party somewhere in there.
Bunch of giant Japanese extreme sugar party. Just slamming them sodas.
Exactly. But and I would say also with Xbox, because now I have an Xbox 360, I did kind of convert to Xbox with Ninja Gaiden as well, but also because of Halo, because Halo was a really great bonding experience for me and my dad. Fun.
I bonded with my dad over Virtual Cop. That was it. My dad is a crack shot with guns. So he does, like, my dad owns some guns. He was a police officer at one point, but he doesn't really like I've never seen him shoot a gun, but he is like this awesome shot with light guns. Of just like, well, me and my brother were just like squinting down the fake barrels of the light guns on Virtual Cop. Like, he would just sit from the couch and just like loose hand, just like pop, pop, pop.
That's because
pop.
They don't tell you, but the biggest secret to aiming is just confidence. Just think you're going to hit it and just do it. You'll be fine.
You know, Henry and Ashley, I bonded very much with my father too when he told me to quit fucking playing those video games and mow the goddamn lawn. That was a nice bonding experience.
I watched my grandfather discover Duck Hunt once when he thought nobody was watching, and like just get engrossed. And I was like, Pops, I thought you said these things were, you know, a waste of time. Shut up. Get out of here. I'm going to shoot some ducks.
That's pretty cool.
I definitely credit my dad. Pretty much one of the reasons I ended up loving video games was like at 3 years old watching him play the original Doom until my mom told him he had to stop because it was too violent.
Ow. That makes me feel old, I gotta say.
So, much like Ashley, with you saving up for what you were gonna buy exclusively, I had the same thing. I actually saved up a bunch of lawn mowing money to buy a Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
And that was my system that I bought for the exclusives. Because at the time, this was during the same time period when I discovered my grandfather sneaking in sessions of Duck Hunt, I was living with my grandparents. And my uncle, who was living with them also at the time, or just moved out, something like that, had a PlayStation there. And so I played a lot of PlayStation. Actually, the first real game I remember playing is like FIFA 94, not to make anybody here feel old or anything. But so I was very happy with the PlayStation. until I went to a neighbor's house and we played all manner of Nintendo 64 titles. And I just thought, I have to have this. So I saved up mowing lawns, bit of Christmas money, all that, and eventually bought myself a Nintendo 64 with Super Mario 64.
Nice.
That is a good. That is a good reason to buy an N64. Okay, so that is our thoughts on this week's question of the week. You answer it in the comments for this week's episode, and you may get a thing or something. But like somebody
we can just say now. It's fine.
All right. Yeah, you'll win.
We'll choose
you'll
the winner, which we will choose next week, or you guys will choose next week. Mm-hmm. We'll get some kind of cool prize. Might just be a piece of paper with a smiley face on it, but it might be a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Very right. possibly.
We might send M Shadows to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, so before we go away to, or we sign out and then go to that interview, like, I guess, Cooper, do you have any, you know, parting words since this is your last episode?
Just thanks everyone who listened to giving us another chance. I know that some bridges were burnt when Talk Radar got canceled, and some people had a hard time jumping from that to this, but I've heard from a lot of people that we ended up winning them over in the end by sheer persistence, and I appreciate everyone who gave us that chance because I know a lot of people didn't. So if you listen to this podcast, I genuinely thank you because relaunching this is one of my the things that I think most people here are happiest about and proudest of, and we are very happy to have been a part of it, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without all the people who gave us that shot. And also just thanks in general.
That was beautiful, Cooper.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks. All right, so until next time, Radio Radar out!
Hey everyone, this is Hollander Cooper here with M Shadows, lead singer of Avenged Sevenfold and big fan of Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Such a big fan that you were in the game, is that true?
Oh yes, we were in the game. Yes.
You were in the game. That's crazy. So some of our listeners might be confused because besides your starring role in Black Ops 2.
Role at the end of the game.
Yeah, you may not be the first name that pops in people's heads when we talk about games, but there's a good reason I'm talking to you this week.
Yeah.
So run us through exactly what you're doing.
Well, we, without the full backstory, basically, we wanted to make our own mobile game. And it turned out from being a simple project into a massive game that we're trying to squish now into the mobile platform. we've been building it for 2 years. It was supposed to be a 6-month project. And, my band has pretty much let me take the lead on it because they know I'm like a insane, absolutely obsessed gamer. I have been my whole life, or ever since I got my first Nintendo. And so kudos to them for letting me do that. But we're making a very big action adventure type game that that has a little bit to do with Avenged Sevenfold, at least our Deathbat character, our right. mascot. So that's what we're doing. And we're in QA and we're just dealing with that, trying to get this thing out.
So you said you have to squish it onto mobile at this point. What about it has gotten so much bigger than the platform you intended on originally?
I'm a big fan of storytelling in games. I'm a firm believer that if a game's not fun, it's no good. I don't care what the graphics look like. I don't care about anything other than the emotional story it's going to put me through. That's why my favorite franchise of all time is Zelda. And so this game, with the amount of dialogue and the amount of cutscenes and the amount of just the vastness of the world we're trying to put into this thing, we have been doing a lot of terrain balancing and knocking down pixels to make sure this thing can fit. Because right now we're over a gig for a mobile game. That's a lot.
Oh yeah,
especially for people like, hey, buy our mobile game and it's going to take you 25 minutes to download. So it's a different thing for mobile. But we're excited about it, and we don't think many people have done it. You know, a lot of times people are just trying to put out these Flappy Birds or whatever it is,
right.
which serves a purpose.
Yeah,
but we're trying
There's
to,
totally an
we're
audience
trying to go against
for that.
The grain. Yeah. We're trying to go against the grain here.
Are there plans to bring it to PC as well?
There were, and we're still looking at that, but right now we are so deep in trying to make this thing work on as many Android devices as possible. We want to bring it to Steam. We want to do the NVIDIA Shield, which we're going to do. And we want to bring it to PC, but you know what? To be honest, I think it falls a little bit short of a PC caliber game, and I think it exceeds expectations for a mobile game. So it's one of those things where if we do a second one, which I hope we do, we can really just take over on all devices and hopefully make a real big game.
Crazy, you know? Big next gen.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
So what's the gameplay like? You mentioned sort of action adventure, but what games would you compare it to?
Well, I would compare the look of it, and like the first glance you'd say, oh, this looks kind of like Diablo because of the camera view and what we're doing there. A lot of that was because if you do like a third person thing on a view on you know, virtual controls, it's very hard to control.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off like that. I didn't like it, so we moved to more of a camera that's in one spot and it's not moving all the time. But gameplay wise, it's a lot of NPCs. You have to learn from the NPCs. There's no hand holding. The battles are pretty. The enemies are pretty tough. So I'd like to say Zelda. It's not as big of a adventure as Zelda, obviously, but I think just the way the game plays and the people you talk to and the sounds you hear in the game, it's like a lot of old school Zelda, a lot of Castlevania Gauntlet thrown in there.
And any specific references you threw into those games, or did you resist the temptation to drop a "Hey, listen," or a, "It's dangerous to go alone, take this"?
We made some things like it's called "Hail to the King," so you have some like Duke Nukem. Some Evil Dead type of things,
nice.
Where the guy says like "Hail the King, baby, that's me," or whatever, like talking about himself or whatever. But little like nods here and there. We did a lot of 8-bit stuff, so like when you die, you know, like hearing this grand music, but then you hear like some Mario old school, like doo 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 doo, like things like that. You know, where it kind of nods back to the 80s when I was playing games as a little kid. But it's a nice mix. It still feels new school, but it's got all those old vibes. You know, we've shown some people that are my age, when I'm 32, that grew up with games, and they're like, man, this has that old school feel, but it's real fresh and clean. So, yeah, there's a lot of little things in there.
So would you say that it's mainly for fans of your music, or do you think it's going to find an audience outside of that as well?
It's going to have to. It's definitely not a game for our fans. It started off like that would be cool, take them through album covers, use some of the characters, do this and that. The game has definitely become a gamer's game. You know, when people play it, it's difficult. I don't think that every one of our fans is going to pick this up and even know how to move the character around. And when you're talking about, you know, virtual controls.
Right.
And like I said, it's difficult and it takes a while. You have to spend 6-7 hours to even beat the game in the normal mode before you get to nightmare mode. And I don't think every Avenged Sevenfold fan is going to have the ability to do that. So it's a gamer's
like,
game.
Yeah, you think like the average gamer will probably have an easier time picking it up than the average Avenged Sevenfold fan?
100%.
Okay.
100%, yeah.
So what's the current scheduled release window? And I know you're still, like you said, carving off pixels to make it even fit on devices.
Yeah. We're looking at July. We start a tour called Mayhem, and we want to take it out on the road. And, you know, it's a big festival. We want to have a booth with the game. People can play it. So we're hoping by then, but, you know, there's obviously hoops to jump through with Apple and stuff with the 2-week launch. So I don't want to give a date exactly because it could be a week later,
Sure.
And we know how the internet gets when you give a wrong date.
They're so, not fans of that at
no,
all.
No, they're not. So it will be out this summer.
Cool. And sort of to talk about you as a gamer, you mentioned you're a big fan of the Legend of Zelda series,
yeah.
And we talked about Black Ops, but what are other games that you're a big fan of? Is there anything that you think, like, people look at you, your persona, that wouldn't think, like, oh yeah, lead singer of Avenged Sevenfold is probably a fan of blank?
No, I don't know. I mean, when I look at, like, games like, simple games like Mario Party you play with friends, or just the Mario series, or Mega Man, or Castlevania, or, you know, my garage is filled, I have every Mortal Kombat, like the actual arcade games.
Wow,
I have
nice.
1 through 4, and I consider myself very good at Mortal Kombat, even 9. So I play all those games, but I also play Battlefield. I also beat Super Meat Boy to 100%, which took me months. So Contra, I mean, I have consoles in my garage of like 150 games, and I play them all. Burger Time, I'll play anything, and I try to get really good at it. I just started getting into pinball, which isn't a video game, but it's another cool little thing that you put in the arcade.
Surprising how well pinball holds up.
Yeah, oh,
like
it's classic.
It's so good, and it's like I remember as a kid going to an arcade and seeing like my mom play pinball and being like, "That's cool. I'm gonna go play some other game."
Yeah.
And now I go to an arcade and I'm like, "Oh shit, a pinball machine!"
Totally. Well, I got my first pinball machine. Actually, the guys from Metallica sent it to me. It's a Metallica pinball machine. Lars knows I collect video games, so he sent me that. And it is honestly the coolest looking thing you could ever have in a room. You know, like it turns on, there's Metallica blasting, and this, it looks fresh, it's fun, and everyone competes and drinks and has a great time. So pinball's definitely going to hold up forever, I'm sure.
Cool. And are there any, besides your own game, any games you're specifically looking forward to coming out this year or next?
Well, hopefully a new Zelda.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only reason I buy Nintendo products at this point. It's the reason I buy a 3DS. It's the reason why I have the Wii U.
Dude, how good was the 3DS Zelda?
It's awesome.
That game was
so good.
I'm
actually still in the middle of it. I only will play it on airplane rides when I'm on tour because it gives me something to do.
Sure.
So as much as I want to go play it at home, I'll play other things, and I'm still I'm like on the third dungeon right now. So don't ruin it for me, but it is great.
I wouldn't dream of it. Awesome. So Hail to the King coming out this summer, maybe July, depending on how Apple is, if they usually are. And we're definitely looking forward to it. Thanks a ton.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Sure.